adesso parte il tiro, rete, 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 un gol straordinario!
Welcome to Rated This Way, a Calcio podcast that brings you the latest and greatest news from the world of Serie A and European soccer. My name is Michael D'Angelo, and with us, as always, we have Paolo Nobiloni Mangoni.
Welcome back, everyone.
We got a Mr. Chris Pacelli.
Hello, everybody.
We got a Julian Gigi D'Angelo.
How's everybody doing tonight?
How is everybody doing tonight?
Very good.
Very good. Well, yeah, good. Calcio's back on. Not officially, but some sort of version of Calcio. So yeah, I'm content.
Well, currently, I guess, in the sense that this past weekend there has been some.
Yes.
So yes, you're exactly. Yeah, okay. Okay. But what's also good is that we're back in business outside of that. We're ready for Calcio this weekend.
Yeah. Is it a round of applause? Or should you say, Michael, the Farmers League is back.
The Farmers League is back. Chris, all the Farmers League.
All the Farmers Leagues are back. Yeah, you got it, Mike. That's it. Even the, as Julian said offline, the League of Talents.
That's right. Yeah, Julian, it's literally the League of Talents.
I think it's just their like slogan for the League highlights that I'm currently watching on Fubo. But yeah, it'll show like League highlights on the logo and then the League of Talents.
What would
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. What would Serie A's slogan
They would spell league wrong.
Serie A would? Yeah.
And they would find a synonym for talents that it just doesn't work. Or I don't know.
Skills. League of top skills. League of top skills.
What did you say, Chris?
I was referring to their old the categories from last year, like top dangerous city or whatever.
Dangerous city.
Yeah.
League of top players.
God.
League of prosperous.
Of top farmers.
Top farmers. That's how we'll refer to it internally.
Oh man.
Anyways, welcome back to the pod, everybody. What an exciting time we have because it's we're literally days away from the start of the next season. So congrats, everybody, for making it this far. It was a quicker summer, which is fine for us because, again, we can actually start having fun again because you know how not fun summer is typically, right?
Well, I mean, technically, it would have been somewhat faster if the World Cup was played when it should be played historically.
True. You're saying that the content would be faster.
Yeah.
We would have already had some World Cup.
Exactly.
Content. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So if the World Cup was in the summer, when would the season start? Typical. It would start in 3 weeks instead of this week.
It would start end of August.
Right. Instead of the second week of August.
Correct.
Interesting.
Usually the PL, other leagues, other countries start.
Other leagues that you do not want to give any clout to.
Yes. usually start 2 weeks before or 1 or 2 weeks before Syria.
Right. And in this case, actually, it still ends up being earlier because they started this week, I think, right?
Yeah, they started, the 5th or something like that.
Right. Bundesliga started, Liga got going.
Yeah, I feel like all those leagues have always been earlier for some reason. I guess the Italians like to take off Ferragosto anyway, so it all makes sense.
Well, it's also because it's so much hotter
in Italy.
In Italy, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Spanish league also starts this coming week as well.
Yeah. Checks out.
Because, like, in England, they start earlier because it's not as hot as it is in Southern Europe.
Right, right. So. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Well, again, in any case, we're back, baby! So we have a slate of games Saturday, Sunday, and on Monday. So it's really, like, back into the routine of typical Serie A match days. The only thing is that even though it's the opening or grand kind of, you know, start kickoff to the season, there's no real marquee games. So just to name them here. So on Saturday, there's two early games. Milan plays Udinese, and then Samp plays Atalanta. And then the afternoon is Lecce Inter and Monza Torino. So that's all for Saturday. Again, nothing really, I guess, top billing there. But I guess, yeah, like Chris, so Milan has the first game as the defending champion. So what are your thoughts there with, I guess, they're playing Udinese?
I think Udinese is just never an easy game, at least for Milan anyways. You know, Trophy has them playing that counterattack style. So, you know, I'd like to say Milan are favored, and I guess, you know, on paper, it might be easier to say that, but they're never easy games. So I'm excited, but at the same time, nervous to see how right. match day one goes.
Right.
So a couple of corrections there. So Trophy is now with Hellas Verona.
Jeez.
And right. then I think it's Andreas Sotil who was managing Ascoli last season.
Good catch. So then I guess to add to that, I'd say I'd be curious to see how he has them line up. But yeah, either way, Udinese aren't easy games for Milan, so
yeah,
not an easy one to start with. But yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Well, if this is a layup, then okay. I don't know what is. But hold on,
okay, hurry up.
Lecce and Inter, Julian.
Oh, I want to say something about Milan first.
I know.
I mean, Inter. This should be, as you said, a layup. They've had a sluggish preseason, though. They haven't. They only won their first game against Lugano, and then they tied Lyon, one other team, I want to say, Rennes, and then they lost to Lens and Villarreal recently.
Right.
So, hasn't been the best, but again, I don't necessarily like to put too much...
No cause for panic.
Yeah, exactly. It's preseason.
But unless you're even Zazzaroni and at the Corriere dello Sport. But anyway, moving on.
I mean, realistically, Skriniar played his first start since his injury with Slovakia back in the Nations League in June. Brozovic also he hurt himself, so didn't play against Villarreal, might not actually make the game against Lecce. That's to be determined, but they said they don't necessarily want to risk him aggravating the injury and making him out longer, so they may actually leave him for this game. But still, regardless, like, it should be a win for Inter.
Right. Okay, now, Paul, now that I've gotten through both of those, now you get to talk about both of them. So, first off, is the season over if Milan draw points against Udinese?
I'm not going to answer that question. What I'm going to focus on is we'll get to Juventus a little bit later on, but there are some injuries in the Milan camp that I like to focus on. So Tonali will miss the game against Udinese. So I think that's a big loss in their midfield. It remains to be seen how they'll replace him. I guess Benacer will start instead of him. In terms of Inter, again, it's the... As Julian said, it's preseason, and only the newspaper care about the fact that Inter haven't won. According to them, Inter haven't won a real preseason game, even though they beat Lugano, which I guess they don't count as a preseason game, even though it was the start of their preseason. So again, it shows to show how dumb Italian newspapers are. Moving on. the fact that if they can shake off that negativity, that's what I'll be looking at. Lecce, as we'll talk about, in the Coppa Italia segment of our show are lacking in every single department. So if Inter do not get 3 points in this game, then I guess now that will be the time to sound the alarm bells.
Interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Honestly, I agree with you. Inter, in my opinion, their first game is Lecce, their second game is Spezia. Like, those are two games they must win and hopefully figure out their issues by then. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, for me, the most interesting game for Saturday is going to be Monza Torino.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely agree.
Yeah. Well, you would. So why do you agree?
Well, again, I mean, Torino is a team that had a very interesting off-season, or preseason, I should say. They lost Bremer, their best player. They have $60 million to invest. They haven't done anything. They lost Belotti as well. Yeah. So it'd be interesting how they face this game against a Monza side that have brought in, I guess, almost double digits of new players. And it's just a question mark of how Monza are going to be able to start the new season in Serie A for the first time, and I think the first time ever. It's just the excitement to see Berlusconi and Galliani back in Serie A. That's why I'm probably going to watch it over the two other games that will be on Saturday.
Right. And I mean, again, there's some exciting pieces that are going to be playing, like you said, right? Like Pessina's there now too.
Andrea, yes. Ranocchia.
Sensi.
Yeah.
Sensi.
Yeah. Sensi. Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting season. They're not Paletta.
Yeah.
Best hair in the league.
That's it, baby.
He got rid of that comb over, though.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's just, again, it's one of the sides who, I mean, again, knowing the leadership there, it makes a lot of sense in terms of the moves that they made once, you know, being promoted. But they're a side that are really swinging for the fences to stay up in the league this year. So again, they need a strong, I guess, entire season, but you know, a strong opening would also do them very well.
Yeah, I mean, and Torino would be a team in that, you know, high low table,
right?
Area that they would have to beat to stay up
with that. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's continue then here. We'll go into Sunday's game. Again, no real big headliners, but we start with Fiorentina and Cremonese. Then Lazio, Bologna are at the same time, actually. And then in the afternoon later on, we have Salernitana against Roma and Spezia against Empoli. So again, not too many crazy games there. What are our picks here, just to maybe have a look on Sunday?
Well, obviously for me, it's going to be Salernitana versus Roma.
Yeah.
You know, everyone knows about the transfer market that Roma has had so far, and it's raised expectations about what the club can achieve this season after winning a trophy for the first time in 15 years.
You couple that transfer window with the Mourinho effect. And
exactly. Yeah, Mourinho effect.
They really could start. This could be a winning season for them.
Yes. I mean, the Roma fans are very superstitious, so they won't say anything like that. But those who...
But you...
Well, me... Listen, they have a chance. We'll get to that when we do our rankings, our guesses for the season. But they, listen, they have a chance. I said that last year. Maybe I jumped the gun last season, but this season I think it's definitely looking the way that I said it would last year.
Yeah, you, a scrupulous Abruzzese who is close to Rome, will give them all the credit that they don't want to take.
Well, I don't think so. I think I'm starting to become one of those superstitious fans myself. So
interesting, interesting. Okay. Well, so well, you guys heard him. He admitted it. He said he's a fan.
Closet Roma fan.
Wow, we got him on tape.
I said fan. I didn't say Roma fan. I said fan in general.
Yeah, okay.
It was implied.
Okay. It was implied, yeah.
But, my ass, it was implied. But anyway, go on.
Okay. Yeah. Guys, same. Are you guys on the same boat? I am too. I'm interested in that Salernitana-Roma game. Again, just to go over it again. Fiorentina, Cremonese, Lazio, Bologna, and Spezia, Empoli are the other ones.
I mean, it'd be interesting to look at Fiorentina with Jovic to see how many goals he can put into that very poor Cremonese defense. Right. Yeah. And then Lazio's a sorry ball. Let's see another season under Lazio, under Maurizio Sarri, if we can see that they've actually improved and understand how to play his way.
Yeah. Chris or Julian?
No, I would agree with the Roma match. I mean,
yeah.
Other than Monza, they've probably been the most active, but they've obviously got some more high profile names there. And then,
right,
like you guys said, coupled with Mourinho being there and the success they had last year, yeah, I think they've got more attention this year for sure.
Gigi?
I was going to say Lazio Bologna just because I feel like that's the only game where an upset could be on the cards.
Okay.
But to be honest, all the games kind of suck.
Yeah, well, and that, I would say the only other one that's like similar in profile to this game is probably, I mean, yeah, Milan Udinese is close, but I'd say Samp and Atalanta in the first, in Saturday's game is kind of closer like that. Like it's two teams that are a little more closer in terms of
a mid-table team versus like,
yeah, exactly. Versus a little bit more
of a mid-table team.
Exactly, exactly that. Okay, well then let's move on to the Monday game. So again, that's Saturday, Sunday. Monday we open with Verona and Napoli, and then in the afternoon Juve play Sassuolo. So I guess both games are going to be good. Those are both good matchups. I'd say for myself, obviously, selfishly, I'm looking at that Juve game. Paulo, you as well?
But yeah, again, as being a Juventus fan, Michael.
are you sure about that?
Yes, I am sure about that. Don't question my loyalty. I may make jokes, but I'm still a Juventus fan. Again, I'm looking at that, and the fact that Juventus has had, I don't know, I lost count of how many injuries. I think it was Pellegrini's out, Chesney's out, or Chesney's out, Pogba's out. Mm-hmm. Who else? I feel like I'm missing someone.
Chiesa's still out, obviously.
Chiesa's still out, obviously. So you have your starting goalkeeper.
Rabiot has stitches, but
he probably would,
if he doesn't go now, which we'll talk in the transfer part, he could be on deck to play, though.
Oh, God. no, thank you. I'd rather let him sit on the bench. Anyway, so you got starting goalkeeper and you're probably your best midfielder. Out
right.
To start the season. Again, I'm looking at that. At that as again, will they suffer the same start as they did last season, or will they actually get off on a good foot? Because also, the Italian media has been questioning Max Allegri, as our Mr. Crispicelli will as well. shortly after my rant here. And to say that they got their ass kicked against Atletico Madrid on the weekend, and they were very poor as well against it. Like they got torn apart. So again, and luckily it's going up against a Sassuolo team that has lost their best, arguably their best player. I think Raspadori is their best player, but arguably the best player, and they themselves have been struggling for form. So again, it's going to be very interesting. And Juventus and Allegri don't have the excuse that they had last season to start the season.
Sure. Okay. Well, yeah, Chris, then I'll ask the same question that I asked Paulo earlier. If Juve fail in some way, if they drop points, is the season over?
No, the season's not over, but we always talk about our sack race every year, as in who's going to get, you know, who's going to lose their job first. So I think an early loss for Allegri, then that clock will start ticking for him. You know, they just finished fourth last year, and we all spoke about how poor they played in terms of just the style of play. So I want to think he's on a short leash, but who knows? He's been there so long, and maybe he's got a bit more wiggle room.
Right.
Well, I know it's because sorry, Michael. I just want to respond to that. He's not going to get sacked. He got they sacked him last time, and they still have to pay out his contract. And he's back with an even bigger contract than I'm pretty sure from the last time.
He's so unsackable.
Yeah, exactly. but like, it's just, it'll be ridiculous to sack him on a contract worth 9 million euros a season, regardless of how piss poor they play. That's just me.
Julian?
No, I mean, the season wouldn't be over if they drop points, but it would definitely, I mean, I think you could say with any of the big clubs, right, if they drop points, you're going to start to have disgruntled fans off the bat.
Right.
Start to get rumors going of who should be sacked, who should sell their club, who should go back to other countries, but you know.
Go back to Russia.
I mean, the Allegri out is already trending.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We haven't even started the season.
Haven't played a minute yet.
Yeah.
Okay, let's. I just want to pivot then, now that we kind of spoke about that opening match day. I guess just again, the whole point I think we were trying to make is that there's no, you know, massive, I guess, banner game. And that's on purpose, I think, Paulo, is kind of what we understand. And do we like that? How do we feel about that?
I honestly don't like that. It's a way to protect the bigger teams, so they don't face off against each other, to you know, put them behind the eight ball. But I think it's just an excuse to get fans hooked first, and then wait 5 weeks before a big game starts. I think I personally believe they made a mistake by making the season asymmetrical. I think that was foolish. I think it doesn't allow for predictability with fans and schedules. Fans like to have predictability in knowing what games are coming up next, instead of on the next 18 games, the final 18 games, it's going to be all random and not the same as the first 18 games. I think that's a bad mistake.
Now, wasn't that the same last year, though? It didn't start. It didn't end the way it started.
No. This is brand new this season.
Hmm.
I thought it was asymmetrical last year as well.
Was it asymmetrical? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Really?
And that's kind of what I was going to ask, I guess, is like, wasn't it a success last year? Like, we didn't know a winner until the very end because of, you know, how the difficulty of the schedules that, you know, different teams were ending on, right? Because it just ended up being that, okay, there was a chance for, you know, Napoli even to claw back or enter to make that space up, right? So it does add a little bit of chaos, I guess, but also, a little bit more of, you know, suspense almost.
Sure, maybe towards the back end, but the start, what it is, it's not having a big game or jumbling or, you know, protecting the bigger clubs, especially the clubs that are playing in Europe. Yeah. I think it's not fair to the bottom half of the league that they have to play the big teams right off the bat. And
so, or is it though? Because let's look at it this way. Let's look at for example, Inter play Lecce. Wouldn't you rather, if you're Lecce, wouldn't you rather get this game out of the way after you aren't even like settled as a team in Serie A, after signing in new players, etc., to start your new season in Serie A after being promoted? Wouldn't you rather a little bit more time to settle before you have to play those games where you need to take points home from, like, you know, a Cremonese or, you know, all those other kind of smaller teams that are lower down on the table. That's so, being devil's advocate. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, yeah. Fair point.
Chris.
I'll jump. Yeah, so I agree with what you said, Mike, and I was just going to say I disagree kind of, Paulo, with what you're saying. I like that match day, you know, maybe they didn't have to wait until match day 5 to insert a big matchup or a derby match, whatever the case is. But for me, anyways, there should be enough excitement in general around the league for match day 1, match day 2, match day 3 that you shouldn't have to inject it with a big match right away. So no, I don't mind that they waited a little bit to do that. And then back with the asymmetric schedule, I do like that. I think going back to Mike's point, it adds a bit of unpredictability, not knowing, you know, like you said, what's going to happen right down to the end. So, you know, you might play, you know, Lecce plays Inter match day 1, but they may not play them again until, you know, match day 33. So I think that little bit of inconsistency in the schedule makes it a bit more exciting for us anyways.
I think it reflects in the table a little more than like just the standard. Cause again, you can kind of, that's it, Paulie. You can kind of get ahead of yourself in the schedule and be like, okay, well, I can see this ending on this date because based on whatever, this is what happened last time. You could still do that technically, even if this schedule is jumbled. It's just that, again, you might catch teams in hot streaks that you wouldn't have caught before because they've, you know, been able to play 3 games in a row where they, you know, have been able to get favorable results and stuff, you know, like, so it just changes a little bit of the dynamic, which I think I'm a fan of chaos. So I like that.
Well, I mean, there's also chaos too, because they changed the tie break rules. Julian, remember hearing about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Only if it's between first and second. I don't think it's for, or maybe a relegation battle.
Right.
But yeah, there's actually now a playoff game as opposed to head-to-head or goals. I think if you're tied on points for first, it's a playoff game.
It's Super Bowl. It's Flint, Michigan Mega Bowl.
I mean, that's Michael, that to your point about chaos, that's like the
ultimate chaos.
Ultimate chaos, yeah.
But what if it's a 3-way tie?
Yeah, now we're talking, Julian.
Your team's on the field of one.
You know what happens if it's a 3-way tie? The Tim Cup.
Yeah, he'd play 45 minutes.
I knew Paulo would like that.
I missed that preseason tournament.
It'll be back, my friend.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, I feel like it's such a. There's some nuance, I think, now, whereas before, you know, kind of it's just a different way to present it. And I'm not opposed to that, as long as it's keeping it fresh. You know, that's what you want to do with your crops. So,
OK, again, I must be I think I'm a purist. Serie A was always, you know, 18, you know, like the same right. schedule, yeah. like a symmetrical schedule. It was right. always like that. So like I enjoyed the predictability of looking. It's like, okay, well, then it has to be this way to finish the season instead of just random games in the schedule. So again, that's just me being the Serie A purist that I am.
That's what we'll call it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Purist. Farmer League purist.
Farmer you yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like you like again, like I said, you like your crops a very certain way.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, why don't we pivot a little bit, and we'll round out our talk about today. And again, granted, we've already what?
No, we didn't mention Napoli and Verona. I think that's like an interesting game as well. Yes. Because the fact that Napoli pretty much lost their 3 best players, they still haven't completed their transfer market, and going against a Verona team again, that there's some question marks surrounding them. Will Cimarroni be sold or not remains to be seen, but and also we'll get to the Coppa Italia results. So I think that all the pressure's on Spalletti. Like I said in previous episodes, if he makes top 4, then the guy's a miracle worker. So I think that's a perfect segue into what you were about to say.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say is I think it's a really good spot to pivot into this then is again, what let's look at where we think all these teams are going to land in the end, you know, because there is a lot of change. There's a lot of turnover in some of these squads. So it maybe doesn't appear as black and white as it might have in the past. So why don't we start? Who's ready? Who wants to go first and be the guinea pigs for either or the top seven we're going to go and the bottom three prediction. So who wants to go first?
I can go.
Okay. Juliana.
So I have Milan first again. I know the three of us, excluding Chris, had them all finishing seventh last year and they proved us hilariously wrong. But I look at their team and yeah, they lost Kessié, but other than that, like they only got stronger, right? Like Cattelare, I don't know how to pronounce his name, yeah, he's a great, great signing. They haven't really lost anybody else. If Liao continues to grow, like he's somebody who can win you a game. Him and Maigna, the two of them can literally win games for Milan. So I think they're a lot of people don't have them as favorites, but I think they're sneakily going to be a team that's in it right till the very end. I have Inter in second. Again, Inter, I think, also got better, especially with Onana coming in, Lukaku coming back. I think the Mkhitaryan and the Zlani signings also help their midfield. However, if one of their defenders or Lautaro or Lukaku miss a significant amount of time, they are fucked. So we'll see what happens. Third, I have Roma. Again, I think we all know the transfer market they've had. I still don't trust their three center backs. That's why I don't have them higher. I think that'll ultimately be their downfall. Fourth, I have Juve again. I don't know where to put Juve this year, to be honest. I look at their team on paper, and I don't think it's overly strong. Yeah, like, I don't know, but you can never count out Juve, especially Allegri's terrorist ball. They're going to scrape 1-0 wins. Lazio, I fifth as well. Again, I did like their transfer market. And again, their biggest thing was that they didn't lose Milinkovic-Savic. But with Roma getting better, Milan and Inter not necessarily getting worse, I don't know if they've done enough to get up into the top four. Fiorentina sixth, just because I think they can improve on last year's season. But similarly, I don't know if it'll be enough to get them higher. And then seventh, I have Atalanta. For me, it was a toss-up between them and Napoli, but I think they will have a better season than Napoli, who, in my opinion, will struggle a little bit this year.
Interesting. Okay. Let's do all of our tops then, and then we'll go down to the bottom. So, Chris...
All right, so I have Inter in first. I still think they overall have the best roster. I mean, Julian already noted the players they had, so I will kind of ramble on there. But yeah, I think Inzaghi's a good manager as well, capable of getting them a Scudetto. So I have them in first. I have Milan in second. Again, lost Kessié, but I like the players that they brought in. I think they'll still be able to compete there. I have Roma in third as well, for all the reasons Julian mentioned. And then I have Napoli in fourth. I think we're going to see Spalletti kind of show us how good of a manager he is this year. You know, despite the players that he's lost, I think he's still going to be able to make it work. I have Juve in fifth, Lazio in sixth, and then Atalanta in seventh. I contemplated having Atalanta in six because they're only going to have the one game a week this year, right? Because they're not in Europe. So I think that's advantage Atalanta, but I have them in seventh. So Inter first, Milan, Roma, Napoli, Juve, Lazio, Atalanta.
Interesting. Paulo.
Okay, so obviously, as a Juventus fan, I want to put Juventus first. Okay. I'll explain why there's a reason behind my madness. I'm not confident about it, but there is... Allegri said it himself, there is the obligation to win. So that, to me, is the statement that they have Serie A as an objective to come in first. For second, I have Roma, just like last year, top two, same as last year. Again, we all stated it already, the transfer market, Mourinho effect, etc. Third, I have Inter. I'll explain why. Handanovic is still the starting goalkeeper, regardless if they brought in Onana or not. He's going to start the game against Lecce. And their defense is showing cracks as well. De Vrij is not the same player that he once was. And there's some... I know Lukaku's Lukaku came in as well, the same Lukaku Lautaro, but again, just something's not right so far. That may change as the season progresses, but you get the feeling that something's off. So fourth, I have Milan. Unfortunately, I put Milan at fourth just to piss off Chris. I'll just be honest here. I've Lazio fifth. I think I had them sixth last season. So I think they're going to be. They have brought in players to address the key problem. Their holes that they had as players left at the end of last season. And sixth, I have Napoli. As I said earlier, again, if I'll say this now, if Spalletti makes that team finish fourth, then shows that he's a miracle worker and is able to bring, I don't want to say below average, but like subpar teams that shouldn't be in and around the top four into the top four, like he did with that Inter side. With that guy that had Gagliardini starting. So, again, I always put that as my reference point.
Gagliardini, Vecino, and Borja Valero?
Yeah, exactly. If he can bring a team with that midfield to the Champions League, then also with this Napoli team, again, losing the three best players, then it says something as his quality as a manager. And then I have a Fiorentina finishing seventh. I know that they're playing in Europe this season, but it is the Conference League. And they also brought in a striker to properly replace Vlahovic. They brought in Mandragora to replace Torreira. And they're also looking to bring in... I think they brought in Dodo, which I'm pretty sure is the defender. What is he?
Not sure.
Michael looked that up, but they also brought in Dodo. And they're looking to bring in some other players before the end of the transfer market. So I think they're quietly building a good team to fight for that last European spot.
He's right back.
He's right. There goes the defender. Okay. So, Mike, what's your top seven?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to start from the bottom. And it's really tough because like I feel like I want to give like for Chris's reasonings I want to give Atalanta the benefit of the doubt that you know finishing eighth was kind of out of sorts for them and it wouldn't continue, but it's hard for me not to include Fiorentina in the top seven. So what I'm actually going to do, I think I am still going to keep Atalanta out. I have Lazio in seventh, Fiorentina in sixth. What did I say? Seven?
Yeah, you said Lazio.
Yeah, Lazio seven, Fiorentina six.
Sorry. Okay. Lazio seven, Fiorentina six, Napoli five. I have, and again, this is another tight spot, but I put, again, Juve four. I put Milan three, Roma two, Inter one. It kills me to do that, but I think.
thought you were gonna put Roma one.
Yeah, well, I wanted to. I really want to. But that's this like, I want Roma to win over Inter every time. I just don't know. Again, to your point, Julian, I don't know if they have the strength to do that. Like we were talking all season last season that they didn't have the depth, and they had a great window. But you're right, that defense does not really strike me as someone who is like, again, a a winning defense. I see Inter having more stability back there, which is way more important, especially in this league, than having the offense. Because again, we've seen, you know, the likes of Napoli have just incredible seasons. Even Inter a couple seasons ago before they won, they had an unreal offense. But again, just having that, you know, the shaky back part didn't, you know, was the difference. So I feel like that's where Roma are. I think if Roma continued to get better, maybe after this year, they could really put it, you know, into high gear and take first the year after. I just don't know if they're there yet, but I have them up. I have them, for me, the top four is a jumble anyways. But again, I think Roma for me have the edge over Milan, who I think overperformed massively last year, even though, again, I'll give them the credit. They won whatever, but I think they still overperformed. I think the other two, Inter, underperformed. And with Lukaku coming back, I think they have the edge. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to comment on Roma's defense. So I was watching a bit of the friendly against Shakhtar Donetsk. And what I found interesting from Mourinho is that he played Vigna as left center back in the three. So if he, so he's look, 'cause he was looking for someone who's left footed to play on that left side of the three. So instead of playing Ibanez, who is a massive liability back there, and he finds someone in his squad without bringing someone in to play at that left center back position, then this could be a game changer for the rest of the season. You know, this is, you know, one based on one preseason game, and it's interesting to see that he's doing that a week before the season starts. So we'll see. I'm curious. Maybe he'll try out Ibanez there to start the season, but if Ibanez keeps getting beat one-on-one or is a massive liability back there, then I think Vini's going to come in and at the left center back position.
And I want to note too that we aren't finished. In terms of the market, right? Like there's still some changes that could happen and that could affect again where a lot of these places or these teams land, right? Like I can see if Juventus, for example, solidify a little bit that, you know, needs some work. Like for example, their midfield needs to be just put into concrete with some proper players and, you know, some are leaving, which is great, but again, you got to reinforce. But their defense also with Bonucci, I don't trust. So if they come in and say, hey, we're going to actually pull in, you know, a replacement for Alexandro, I think that does change them. I think maybe they do have an edge over Milan or whatever, but yeah. Paul, what were you going to say?
Well, I mean, it's just, I think I said this last week as well. It doesn't make sense that the transfer market is still open when the season starts.
Yeah.
I think, to make it fair for everyone, because again, like we saw last season with Juventus, the start having Ronaldo leave after the season started put Juventus in a terrible position for the first 10 games, and that affected the rest of the season, and that affected the outcome of the rest of the season. So it just doesn't make sense that the transfer market is open when official games are being played.
Yeah, I think that was more, I don't think that is reflective of the transfer market being open later. I just think that's reflective of poor business and poor, I guess, player relations or even relationship on the player side, because he knew he wanted out. He didn't do it. And then, you know, the last minute he said, okay, well, I'm going to will my way out basically because, you know, I haven't seen or I just don't want to put in the work and, you know, be in Italy any longer really is the idea. So, yeah, I don't know.
I would, I agree with Mike that I don't think if you shorten the transfer window, I don't think you'd do it because it's unfair per se. I agree. I think teams should have a pretty good idea of what their roster is going to look like, you know, a week before the season starts, and shouldn't be relying on transfers, you know, 2 weeks going into the season. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think if you change it, it's not because it has anything to do with being unfair. It's just because you want the transfer window to close early so that teams can just move on and focus on their games.
Right. Julian, what are your thoughts? And then we'll move on. We'll actually take a break after.
I don't know. I kind of doesn't necessarily need to be closed, but I don't like the fact that it's open for another full 3 weeks. Like normally when the season starts towards the end of August and maybe you have one more week to transfer market open, like not much is going to happen. Right. But I mean, with 3 weeks to go, like really there's still a lot that could happen.
Yeah. I just, if I'm likening it to other leagues, not specifically soccer, but other types of sports, et cetera, like what does it change? What's the difference between, you know, in football, for example, do you lock your rosters?
No, I mean, there's a trade deadline, like hockey and all that. So. Yeah, I mean, the only thing from my perspective, being obviously an Inter fan, is that friggin' the owners can decide they want to sell somebody if an offer comes in, and then you might not be able to find a fair replacement.
Right.
But that's just more an Inter problem.
Yeah, exactly. And that's your, you know, fear, as irrational as it may be, or rational. It's your fear anytime that there's a window open. So you just want it shut ASAP.
Yeah. We signed Lukaku. Okay, that's great. Close it.
Yeah. Close it down. Okay. Well, go on. Before we take a break, let's do the bottom three.
And yeah, then. I was about to say.
Okay. So just quickly, who are your bottom three? Anyway, Paulo.
I have Salernitana in 18th. 18th. They lost Ederson, their best player. And their best player or best defender is Fazio. So that says it all. 19th, Cremonese. Like I said earlier, their best player, again, probably their best defender is Vlad Kirikeš. Again, so that's, if he's out, I don't see anyone coming in to, you know, actually do a good job back there. Their only saving grace, I'll give him this, the only saving grace is the fact that they brought in Okoreke, and he did well with Venezia last season. So we'll see if his goals can save them. But it's very hard when you don't have anyone else backing you up by scoring more goals, and then your defense is utter trash. So that's why I have them 19th. I have Lecce finishing dead last. Again, their best player is probably Federico Di Francesco. And maybe the Milan player that they signed on loan, Lorenzo Colombo. They signed a player from sold to a former Roma player. I think it was Turkish defender Çetin. But other than that, I don't see any marquee players that stand out to me. So I think they're going to be the worst team in the league.
Interesting, Chris.
So I have, going off the board a little bit here, I have Empoli finishing in 18th, and mainly there because I want it to be karma for them not bringing back Andrea Zoli.
No, yeah, you're completely right. I think that was a disastrous decision.
Yeah, I think after what he did with that squad, they finished 14th. I mean, I think an extension at minimum and a raise for me, if you're asking me. So to let him go and then to bring in Zanetti, who I wouldn't say he did a bad job with Venezia, but he didn't do so great of a job that it warrants bringing him in over renewing Andrea Zoli. So Empoli finishing 18th is more of an emotional pick than a logical one, but I'm still putting them there. And then Salernitana 19th and Lecce 20th for the same reasons that Paulo mentioned.
Interesting. Julian.
So I have Salernitana 18th as well, basically for all the reasons Paulo mentioned. 19th, I'm going to throw Spezia in there. I don't really think they have that great of a squad. Plus, they lost Paulo's favorite coach, Thiago Motta. And yeah, I agree. Lecce looks to be far and away the weakest team. Saying that, there actually seems to be quite a few very weak teams this year in Serie A.
Monte was unsackable.
Unsackable. But no, like, I definitely agree with what Chris said about Andrea Soli. I think that was a disastrous decision, and that probably will come back to bite him in the ass. Because I honestly, I'll say it right now, I think Zanetti is going to be the first coach sacked this season.
Interesting. I'm going to go similar to Julian. Hit Spezia there, right? 18th?
19th, but yeah.
We had 19th? Okay, I'm putting them 18th, and then I'm putting Lecce 19, and then Cremonese in 20th. That's what I think is going to happen.
So I think
we all think
that's what I was going to say. I think there's enough. There should be enough talent there to keep them up for this year anyways.
I think so. I think they have I just honestly think that they have the right mentality to bully the teams that they need to bully to stay up. That's truly what it is. Yeah. Okay. Is that it for the top half then? That's why don't we take a break then? It's a very long top half, but in the second half, we will get into, as we kind of alluded to, we'll review some Coppa Italia, and then we'll finish it off quickly with just some transfers that we see on the horizon coming through or possibly coming through. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. Podcast. Of course, we have the Coppa Italia.
Yeah.
No, for me, it's the best round of the tournament.
Italia. Oh God, I'm entertained too easily.
Yeah, I could tell. Wait, what's the other song that he has? Barry Manilow?
Mandy,
that's the one. Mandy. Yeah. God, I hate Barry Manilow.
What?
It's just corny. Just really, really corny.
Interesting.
It's just like extremely corny. And then like when he does covers of other songs and this like tortures those songs. That's just me.
I know a lot of people who are big Barry Manilow fans, including Peter Griffin and Craig Meyer.
Where are they?
Yeah, there was an episode where they went.
I think it was Barry Manilow.
I think it was all a joke, and then eventually they were like, oh, yeah, Barry Manilow. Oh, God. Hey, yeah, we should go to Barry Manilow. And then they enjoyed it or something like that, I think.
Right. Not a fan.
Anyways, well, you are a fan, though, of the Coppa Italia.
Yes, I am, especially of the round of 32. I think this is the most intriguing round of the whole tournament.
Yeah, it really is because, again, you get to see and experience some colossal failures.
Exactly.
So I love to hear that. So why don't you lead the way here?
Well, and also the fact that it kind of reminds me, this round reminds me most of the FA Cup in England as well.
And you love England.
but I do like the format of the FA Cup. I'll say that. I think the FA Cup is one of the greatest domestic cup competitions of all time.
That's interesting. So why don't you qualify what you just said? Why is it one of the best?
Well, it's one of the best because lower clubs come in and they play top clubs, which, as you said, Michael, creates surprising failures for top clubs or bigger clubs.
Okay.
So to qualify that into this round of 32, there was 16 games played over 4 days. Michael, do you have the results handy?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
You want me to read through them? Yeah, sure. Yeah. So we had Cagliari won 3-2 over Perugia. Udinese won 2-1 over Feralpi Salò. Lecce lost 3-2 to Cittadella, so Cittadella moves on. And Sampdoria won 1-0 over Regina, and that's the Friday game. Is the games. So Saturday, we had Pisa lost to Brescia 4-1. Spezia beat Como 5-1. Empoli lost to Spal 2-1. And Torino won over Palermo 3-0. Moving on to Sunday here, we had Venezia lost to Ascoli. Verona lost to Bari. Salernitana lost to Parma. Monza beat Frosinone to move on. And now finally on Monday, we had Genoa won over Benevento. Modena, not Moderna, as we've been saying in the group chat. Modena won 3-2 over Sassuolo. Cremonese won 3-2 over Ternana. And Bologna won 1-0 over Cosenza.
Yeah, so just to recap all that, seven games out of the 16 finished 3-2. So out of the Serie A teams, Lecce, Empoli, Verona, Salernitana, and Sassuolo all lost, so they're all out. And for me, the games that I watched, the only games that I missed, or the only day that I missed was Sunday. But out of the games that I've watched, I think that the Udinese, Ferlapi, Salò, game was the best game of the whole round. And out of the goals that I saw, the goal from Luca Siligardi, who plays for Ferlapi Salò, was the best goal of, in my opinion, of the round. It was a nice volley to beat Silvestri.
Did you watch every single matchup besides Sunday?
No, I watched two games per day, except for Sunday.
Okay. As you say, you may have had a problem if you were watching if you watched 12 games.
No, because they were pretty much almost played simultaneously. They staggered them a little bit by 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But I wanted to pay attention to the one game that I was watching instead of having split screen.
Right. Okay, well, with those results, it solidifies what's going to happen for the next round, so the second round, before the finals happen in, I think, January they start.
So when the final eight.
Yes, right. Yeah. So before that, we have in October, I believe it's the 18th, these are the matchups. So Bari will play Parma, Spezia will play Brescia, Bologna will play Cagliari, Monza will play Udinese, Modena will play Cremonese, Spal will play Genoa, Sampdoria will play Ascoli, and Cittadella will play Torino before, again, going into the later half of the final stages of the Coppa Italia.
Do you know who plays the winner of the round of 16 matches? So, like, when the final eight starts?
So they're not all set, but the winner of Cittadella Torino will play Milan. Inter and Atlanta don't have their set brackets yet, I guess, for some reason. Bologna, Cagliari, the winner of that will play Lazio. The winner of Monza, Udinese will play Juve. And again, Napoli, Roma is to be confirmed. But the winner of Sampdoria, Ascoli will play Fiorentina.
Okay, so I think it's because it depends on the seeding.
Must be some bracketology. I agree.
Yeah. So again, I think obviously Milan probably has so far the easiest quarterfinal.
Yeah, I mean, Juve Monza, Udine Monza over for Juve is not that bad.
Yeah, but again, it's tricky because both those teams have the capability of surprising. You know?
Yeah, fair.
But again, there was comments about the fact that the big teams come in at the round of at the quarterfinals. I think that is, I don't like that. I think that's foolish. I think that kind of tips the scales once again to the bigger clubs instead of forcing them like the lower half to play against Serie B teams, because you know, anything can happen. The games are decided on the pitch, and why is it not possible or forced to, or why are the big teams not forced to play earlier in the season against lower clubs when on paper they should be able to beat them no problem?
So I would say it's the same reason that the Toronto Blue Jays don't play the Ottawa Titans.
No,
why should
no? They? It's the same thing. Like I said, in the FA Cup, United plays, I don't know, Accrington Stanley.
Right. So your whole point is that it would allow for a more incredible failure, and that's fantastic. I agree. But I agree to like to watch that in England. I like the failure. I like the English failure. I think this is fine for Italy. I don't know that I want these teams wasting their time.
What I would add to Mike's point is, you know, if, you know, we'll call it the Seven Sisters, if they have to play a Lega Pro side in Coppa Italia, if they went FA Cup style, do you think they're bringing their best 15, 16 guys to the game? They're not, right? They're bringing the guys that don't see a lot of playing time. They're going to bring Primavera guys. Like, they're not going to drag those guys out. So, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you could say, oh, you know, Cosenza, I think Cosenza's in Serie B. Anyways, pick a Lega Pro side. They beat Fiorentina. Fantastic. But they beat Fiorentina's, you know, players 16 through 28, not Luka Jovic and Niko Milenkovic. So, yeah, I get it. On paper, it's exciting. And I know a lot of times in England, you know, you have the big club that travels to the small club. So it's like, you know, these guys getting paid $5 million a year sitting on a bench, like in like a neighborhood park. So it's a cool story. And I think it's exciting, but I don't know. I think having the top clubs in Italy join later makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
I like the cool story aspect of it. Again, I'm a purist.
Go back to Russia.
anyway, so that's pretty much the Coppa Italia.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on then to our last segment here. We're going to talk through, I guess, just the remaining transfer rumors. So we have some that I guess were talked about again, just to kind of trickle out, right? We had some that we're not sure about last week or weren't happening as of then, but have gone through now and et cetera. There are some new ones. So I guess, where do you want to start, Paula? Do you want to start with a specific team, or you just kind of want to go through?
You know what? Let's start with Roma.
Okay.
Cause I forgot to mention to you earlier, that there's a rumor flying around that Tottenham offered Roma 55 million euros plus Chris, help me out with the name, the defender, Tang.
Japhet Tanganga.
There you go.
Tanganga!
So, but then Roma, I think Roma rejected it. I think Mourinho's dead set on keeping Zaniolo for this season. So that, I want to mention that as well. I thought that was very important and an oversight on my part if I didn't mention it. So more for Roma. Michael, as you said, rumors that were made official. So Wijnaldum was made official by Roma. Carles Perez and Villar left Roma. I think Perez is going to Celta Vigo, I think. Mm-hmm. And Villar went to Sampdoria. I think it was on loan with option to buy. So moving across town to Lazio, Provedel, I believe it was official. Julian, help me out. Was it official?
I think so. And then the same with Dragovski going to Spezia, but there doesn't seem to be anything official on that yet either.
Yeah.
So I think like it's like 99% done for both of those.
Yeah. So I think the official announcement is to be had. It's the official announcement by the club. So speaking about goalkeepers, Sirigu to Napoli as their backup goalkeeper. And then it's because, the reason why Dragovski wasn't officially announced yet, it was because I think they were looking at Moret on loan as an option as well. So... that remains to be seen as well, because he could extend. He could even be the starting goalkeeper at Napoli. That's still a question mark with literally days before the start of the season. So, which again just boggles my mind that teams haven't solved their starting 11 before the season has already even started. So for Napoli, it's Kepa, or Navas as that would come in as their first choice goalkeeper if Meret decides to leave. That's pretty much Napoli.
Rumor is that Raspadori too, right?
Yes. Yes, yeah, I was about to mention that as well. I just saw that now. Raspadori to Napoli as well. So Napoli offered like 28 plus Petagna. Sassuolo rejected that. They just want cash. I think now Sassuolo are asking for 35 plus bonus or to get around 35. So between 35 and 40 total is what they're looking for. Napoli around about 30-ish. So again, that will be decided, honestly, by the middle of this coming up week. So by Wednesday, Thursday, I think they want to get that done before the start of the season, obviously. So that's Napoli now. So let's go to go ahead.
Just I was gonna say, so once that happens, then the rumor is Pinamonti to Sassuolo.
Yes. Do you know for how much? For the 20 million.
18 to 20 million, somewhere in that range. But Inter will apparently still have a buyback option on them.
Okay.
Don't know the dollar amount yet. That hasn't been disclosed.
Probably 30. That's my guess. So then let's go to Juventus. On the outgoing front, it's Arnautovic. Rabiot, at least from on the Juventus side, but also Arnautovic. Are being rumored or being linked to Manchester United. For Rabiot, it's 18 million euros. And then Arnautovic is 10 million euros. So, Chris, you watched the English League. Why is that?
Honestly, that's I can't even answer that question. I don't know. I thought highly of Ten Hag up until he signed with Man U. I don't know what he sees in Rabiot and in Arnautovic. I don't think they're terrible players, but I don't even think they're strong Serie A players. So I don't know what he sees that he thinks they're going to bring to Man U to make them better. I don't know. All I would say is it's good business for both Juve and Bologna because they're both guys are over 30, correct?
No, he's not. Yeah.
How old is he?
27.
27? Okay, so I guess 18 million for a 27-year-old makes sense, but Arnautovic, he must be over 30 then, or am I imagining both things then?
He's over 30 for sure.
Arnautovic.
I think he's like 34.
Maybe. Yeah, he's 33.
Right, so then for Bologna to get a bit of cash back for him, I think is good business, but yeah, to answer your question, Paulo, I don't know what he sees in them.
Well,
Chris, counterpoint, I would ask the question, if you're looking to shake up a Man U side that performed the way they did last year, do you think this is enough of a change, or do you think this is really just like a useless exercise?
Yeah, I mean, I get wanting to shake up the roster, but I don't know if these are the guys that are going to come in and shake up that squad. Or like, usually it has to be somebody with a bit more clout and credibility.
And if you have the money, like, you think you would be able to pull in some, right?
Exactly. So, I don't know what they see in them. Obviously, they're disappointed to get Frankie de Jong. And I don't blame them for not wanting to go there. And I don't want to get off on too much of a tangent here, but they're not playing in Champions League. So, I don't know how much Rabiot and Arnautovic are going to help Man U finish top four, which I'm sure is their objective.
Now, I don't want to speak too much about the Premier League, but do you think more of a depth issue?
I don't think so.
These players will play?
I think they'll be squad players, but then again, for 27, I was going to say for 18 million out of for a Serie A club, you have to be starting, but in England, that's
true.
That's a bench player. So who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to point out, like, do you think it's just a panic buy because they lost against Brighton?
Could be that.
Just to shake it up and show people, you're spots aren't certain.
Well,
even as well.
It's not even that. It's just supposedly that's what Ten Hag wants, or the player that he wants, or probably the players that they can bring in. I mean, no one else wants to go to United because of the toxicity that is at that club. Even I think Mourinho said it best. I think that he's quoted saying that finishing second with Manchester United in the Premier League when he did was one of his greatest accomplishments of his career, because no one knows what goes on behind the scenes at that club.
Yeah.
So,
of note, they also signed. Didn't they also sign Eriksen?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's too much for me.
And okay, well, one more point on Arnautovic. I was watching Bologna Cosenza today, and they had their sporting director, former Montreal Impact player Marco Davio, saying that that they don't consider Arnautovic for sale. That his value is intrinsic because he's so important to their project. So I don't think that United will even get the chance to buy Arnautovic, because unless he forces the player himself forces a move, which I don't think he will because of the relationship that he has with Sinisa Mihajlovic.
Right.
So, okay. So moving on, because we spent too much time talking about Manchester United. Kostas to Juventus. So that's again.
It's starting to almost look like a reality.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, like I said earlier, I don't know. Maybe I said to Chris offline, but Frankfurt plays.
Pulling the F off. But
no, that's
a separate conversation.
Well, yes, to go to.
That's Frankfurt. An everyday thing.
to go to Frankfurt. To go to Frankfurt, right?
The right, F right, off. Right.
F off. Yeah. So Frankfurt off, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, Frankfurt plays Real Madrid on Wednesday, I believe, for the European Super Cup. So Juventus are trying to close the deal before that game. So just in case, because if I'm almost positive that if they don't do it, then he's probably going to play, because right. It's such an important game. And plus, I wouldn't want a player, you know, miss a game because of transfer rumors, especially when it's a cup final against Real Madrid.
Right.
So that is almost done. There's a very small gap between offer and demand. Juventus, I think it's about 2 million. So we'll see. They're trying to get that done before before the European Super Cup.
Okay.
So, and just some
more outgoing.
Just I want to talk about Torreira and Mertens, and I want to. This is an open question. So there was some talk on Twitter that kind of annoyed the hell out of me. It just annoyed me, talking about how Torreira and Mertens left and how they couldn't stay in Syria. So, we can talk about Torreira, but for Mertens, it's pretty fucking simple. Okay, he did not want to play for another Serie A team. That fucking simple. Period. Other comments?
Why are you so upset about this?
I'm just annoyed. It's because it's just saying how come another Serie A team couldn't sign Mertens.
Right.
It's just he didn't want to.
It's
play.
Personal preference.
It's personal preference. Exactly. It's not because another Serie A team can't afford him. Or couldn't bring him in. It doesn't show the decline of Serie A or any other bullshit like that. It's the fact that the player decided not to play for another Serie A club out of respect for Napoli's fans. End of story. Now,
so another thing. Ahead. Sorry, Paolo. Before you go on, so what you said, him not wanting to play for another Serie A club, and then you guys said he went to which club?
Galatasaray.
Where the hell did they finish? Jeez, they shit the bed last year. They finished 13th. I was going to say, did they finish Champions League? Because that could have been another attractive piece. But, I mean, Galatasaray are often, you know, one of the Turkish clubs playing in the Champions League. So that might have been another driving force towards him going there. And just to kind of loop this in with Mattia Vitti going to Nice, right? Mm-hmm. Nice are in the, I think it's Europa League. If not Europa League, they're in Conference League. So regardless, he gets to play in Europe. I'm sure he's making more money playing for Nice than he would have playing for Empoli. So I remember when Viti left, there was that same conversation about, you know, Ligue 1 having more pull than Serie A. But at the end of the day, it was a guy who gets to play in Europe and he's playing at, you know, they are a bigger club. So I don't think it was so much about Ligue 1 being better than Serie A. So anyways, I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, and it's another debate about whether a Serie A club is ready to spend, what was it, like almost 15 million on a player who has played only one season in Serie A.
Right, good point.
I mean, for example, Cazale, he was at Verona. He played one season in Serie A, and he went to Lazio. But Lazio got him on, I think it was a pretty cheap deal. It wasn't like 6 million or something like that. Because Lazio's pretty. Michael, look that up, though. I'm curious about that.
Who?
Niccolò Cazale.
Cazale?
Yeah. So again, that was a similar situation. But again, he's probably going to cost half the price that Viti did. So it's all about economics. It's just the fact that Serie A teams don't want to spend that kind of money on unproven players. It's not a guarantee that Viti is going to be a top-class Serie A defender. And you're risking 15 million on a gamble. When in Ligue 1, he can probably play, and he's playing in Europe. I mean, it's common sense. It's not the fact that the league can't afford it. It's just, for me, it just makes more logical sense on an economic and also personal preference.
So, Cazale from Verona to Lazio for 7 million.
Yeah, that's exactly. There you go. Half the price.
Yeah.
Half the price. And he's probably a little bit older than Viti.
Cazale is 24.
There you go. Again, it boggles my mind that tutta posters or not tutta post insiders, commentators just make a big thing about nothing, and saying that just because a Serie A club doesn't want to piss away a 15 million euros on a gamble, which again they're not in the position, an economic and sporting position to do so, to me is an absolute bullshit argument. And the one that appeases leagues and fan bases that are outside of Italy.
Okay.
And also, is this the same thing that goes for Torreira? I think Torreira was signed by Galatasaray for 6 million from Arsenal, something like that. One commentator said, how come Fiorentina couldn't sign him? Fiorentina had a deal with Arsenal to sign him at the end of the season. That's because that deal with Arsenal was 15 million euros. 10 million euros more. So, of course, when Fiorentina tried to renegotiate it, Arsenal was going to tell them to fuck off. Which the only other club that wanted to sign him was a 13th-place club in Turkey, even though they're an historic club that most likely could finish in the Champions League next season. So again, these doomsday sayers, okay, after the transfer market, will be biting their tongue when, again, certain young players may not pan out. So just shut up, let the season pan out, and then we'll reassess at the end of the season.
I will say this, Paulo, that typically, you have been known to be a doomsday yourself.
Have I?
Guys, would you concur? Are you in concurrence?
I would consider myself a conspiracy theorist. Okay. Not a doomsday sayer.
Yeah. That might be more accurate.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, there's a difference, Michael. Conspiracy theorist.
Something, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I'm a piece of work. That's for sure.
You're a piece of work, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, again, for me, the conspiracy theorist is to shine a different light than what the mainstream media does, to bring people different opinions than what they're constantly bullshitted with than on the mainstream Italian sporting media, and also on Twitter, journalists on Twitter.
Rattle some cages.
Exactly. So I want to get that off my chest. If any of you guys have any other comments.
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm happy to let you vent. I think that's it's necessary once a week. That's why we do this. Really, it's like a therapy for all of us. Okay, well, that really does end. Actually, the only one remaining. Did we speak about Sanchez terminating his contract?
Not yet, but thank God that he did. That was one that was just dragging so long and so long. So yeah, he's finally off of Inter's books, supposed to sign with Olympique Marseille by the weekend. And yeah, that leaves Inter with, well, once Pinamonti sold, Eddie Salcedo is also rumored to be going to Pisa, leaves them with four strikers, which is what Inzaghi said he wanted for the season.
There you go.
But speaking about Olympique Marseille, another player that Roma got rid of was Vertu on loan, and then with an option to buy for 11 million euros. So they got 11 million euros for Jordan Vertu, which is pretty impressive.
Which we spoke about, which effectively pays for the loan of Gini.
Yes. If they buy him, yes. But yeah.
Well, because it was the wages plus, because it's a free, it was a free loan? No, what was it? PSG's paying 40% or something like that? That was
Of the salary, yeah.
Right, right. So it was something like that where it was going to be, it was going to work out to be almost like a net zero. But
yeah. So, I mean, again, some very good business for Roma. Yeah, and absolutely. That's why people are talking about
him. That's right. You create the buzz, baby.
Exactly. And then they had just one more thing before I end off. To wrap up the whole show with arts and culture, they had, I think it was Blanco, to sing at halftime during their friendly against Shakhtar Donetsk.
So what about Mahmoud?
Mahmoud wasn't there, unfortunately. I think Mahmoud's like either an Inter Milan fan because he's from Milan or something like that. From what I understand, I know
wouldn't
the fact
be caught
that he's
dead
from
in
Milan. Exactly, yeah. So. Again, it's just that Super Bowl mentality, Michael, you were talking about earlier.
Flint, Michigan Mega Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what else then to finish off? I think that's it for the transfers, obviously. So, Chris or Julian, do you have anything to add?
No, I don't think I have anything else to add.
Chris? Likewise, nope, that's it.
Paulo, last one.
Saturday, Serie A is back.
That's it. We have less than a week, so get ready. Get your favorite jersey on. Sit in front of the TV and watch some of the soft launch to the Serie A season. yeah, guys, it's been a summer. It's been an interesting one. There's been a lot of changes, but again, we find ourselves at the start of another, you know, hopefully engaging season. I think realistically, again, with the state of the league, it really is. I see it closer, you know, kind of like we saw last year. You know, we saw that it really did come down to the last couple of matches until we really knew where everyone was going to shake out. So I think for the next couple of years, that's the likelihood, unless some sort of windfall of money comes into certain clubs, namely owned by X-Core or operated by X-Core. But in any case, I think it's a really exciting time to get back into this league, although they may be closer to a farmer's league at this point with the crops that they're selling to other leagues. Again, I think this is really the start of them coming back. Because it's been a tough couple of years from the pandemic, et cetera. And, you know, the reality is they can only go up from here. So let's get excited. Let's get ready for this weekend. It's the start of a journey. And let's hope that your team is the one that ends the journey on top. So with that, we'll close up the show. Make sure you're following us on our socials. So at RTW Calcio. on both Instagram and Twitter. And we will see you this weekend, obviously, with the big games in hand, and we'll be back next week to recap everything for you. So with that, have a good weekend. Bye-bye. Ciao.